Thank you. Welcome, everyone. I'm breaking the rules a little bit, the PowerPoint rules, because I've got 18 slides in 15 minutes. But I'm going to whistle through them, and I'm certainly not going to go through all the text on each slide. But copies will be available either via the organisers or direct from CIC. As Lord Selborne said, I'm very sorry to say I can't stay for the discussion panel. It's a good reason. I'm giving a seminar to some students at 8 o'clock and I don't want to let them down. But I have to say I'm leaving you in even more capable hands, because Turlo O'Brien, not only is he a former chairman of CIC, he's chair of the expert panel that we set up after Grenfell, and he's also chairman of the governing board of the Chartered Institute of Housing, which is obviously in its own right very relevant to this subject. There are several members of CIC in the room and many other people who don't know very much about CIC, so I apologise in advance to the members of CIC, because I'm going to aim these words at those who don't know so much about the organisation. I wanted to say two things up front, actually. First of all is that I'm not just going to be talking about Dame Judith's review, essentially important though it is. What I'm going to try and do is take a more holistic view of the after Grenfell activities over the past 6 months, set some of those issues in the context of the interim report, but also to show the interconnectivity, if you like, between several strands of activity that involve a very large number of organisations, not always working together, but actually, generally speaking, in the same direction of travel. And the second thing I wanted to say up front is that I'm speaking for the Construction Industry Council. I'll say a little bit more about that in the next slide. But I'm not, specifically not, speaking on behalf of the construction industry. There are in the room many colleagues that I work with week in and week out, representing the supply side, representing the construction product sector. One thing I wanted to say up front is we're often regarded as a fragmented industry, but these organisations, the CIC, the Build UK, the Construction Products Association, the FMB and others, work together on a very regular basis to present a unified front on behalf of the construction industry. It's not often known about. We're called the Construction Industry Council, but it is a misnomer and it is misleading. We're certainly not a construction industry body, but our title's been around for 30 years, old habits die hard. But really the strap line says what we are. We are the built environment professions together, working together. And CIC has 50 bodies, 50 organisations in membership, and they are all representative organisations. We have no construction companies, we have no contractors, we have no consultants in our membership. And the organisations in our membership range from the very large, the Institution of Civil Engineers, the RIBA, the Chartered Institute of Building, the RICS, the Structural Engineers, SIBSE, etc., etc., well-known large professional bodies. Our membership also includes major research and standards-based organisations, so bodies like the BRE, the BSI, the British Board of Agronomy, and many others. But it goes down into very small niche-based areas, small organisations, bodies like the Institute of Clerks of Works, the Access Association, the British Institute of Interior Design, education bodies, bodies that are small but have a very important role to play in the overall picture. And just as an example of that, one might assume that the British Institute of Interior Design has very little necessarily to add to this discussion about after Grenfell activities, but they're actually doing a huge amount of work into the combustibility of furniture and into the deaths that happen through the toxicity of burning furniture, something I'm sure that will have been a part of what happened at Grenfell. These members provide expertise over the whole life cycle of the built environment, from client demands through planning, design, engineering, much more besides, to management in use and demolition engineering, and the life cycle begins again. And they are concerned not just with buildings and infrastructure, but the managed spaces between. And just before I leave this slide, I would also say that there are many other activities that CIC is involved in. Together with our colleagues in the Construction Products Association, we own the Considerate Constructor Scheme, which many of you will know something about. And we also own the body known as SICAIR Limited, which is the statutory body for approved inspectors. We all know... We'll all remember where we were when we woke up to the dreadful news on the morning of 14th of June, and I'm sure we'll all remember that as long as we live. CIC members met within a fortnight of the tragedy, and they set another meeting just to discuss Grenfell for 10 days later. Every member of CIC attended that meeting, which is certainly a first, and all agreed that the tragedy was an outcome of a broken system. Exactly the same key finding of Dame Judith. Since then, we've been engaged in several areas of activity. This isn't an exclusive list. There are others, for example, giving advice and support to the Independent Expert Panel on Fire Safety, working with the GLA on their inquiry into sprinklers, and many other similar things. I want to start off with the industry response group. This body was set up in July. It meets weekly. It's a regular momentum of activity. It brings together government, industry, specifically through CIC, Build UK, and the Construction Products Association, and representatives of the building owners, local government association, National Housing Federation, for example. And it's closely linked to the Independent Expert Panel on Fire Safety. It's running a lot of projects, that's why it needs to meet weekly. The main activity, and I'm not going to go into great detail about this because of time, and the list isn't exclusive, but the main activity is that every week we update all available information on the number of high-rise residential buildings at risk and the industry's capacity to advise upon, remove and replace cladding that failed the large-scale testing. These figures change every week as new market intelligence comes in. Some pinch points have immediately became obvious. The lack of fire safety consultants, the lack of fire risk assessors with experience on high-rise buildings, the lack of clerks of works, we haven't been training any for 7 or 8 years, and the shortage of installers. And insurance problems clearly are not helping. And all of these areas are projects for the IRG to look into. Another area which has occupied much of the response group's time has been providing information to help building owners and managers on high-rise residential towers deemed to be at risk to decide what to do, a decision tree and information stemming from that about how they might deal with their at-risk cladding. And the last two projects on the list have been let to the Manufacturing Technology Centre, and they're looking at improving the efficiency of the process, the other end of the telescope from the capacity issues. I think the important thing to note about all of this work is that it's about providing quick solutions to immediate problems of capacity, in a sense the other end of where Dame Judith has been looking. It's very different, but actually in terms of immediacy, it's no less important. Although we made a very detailed submission to Dame Judith's review, our work towards the end of 2017, focused mainly on the public inquiry. We created an expert panel from across the professions. We brought in guests, if you like, from the fire safety sector to inform our discussions, and we appointed Turlough as the chairman of the panel. We ran a series of workshops, which were very well attended, and that led to 6 task and finish working groups, which we described as chapter groups, because the intention was that they would be responsible for chapters of the submission to the public inquiry. I won't read the groups out, but actually it's not unlike, in many respects, the 6 work streams announced by the review team earlier today. A number of critical issues came from that process, and I'm going to very briefly describe some of them. Again, I'm not going to go into detail, but the critical issues raised through the process included the problems of driving procurement down to the lowest cost, the need to improve competencies and training in several key areas, the discontinuities in the process, the divisions between design and construction, product substitution, clear and unambiguous strategies, regulations and guidance were needed, and clear and unambiguous roles and accountabilities were needed. It's very much like the golden thread, Dane, you just spoke about. And the third set of areas, a need for appropriate inspections, the need for facilities to be signed off as safe before occupation, improve fire risk assessments and the quality of those that undertake them, and create a better voice for residents and tenants. All these critical issues raised in our workshops back in August and September, and the chapter groups that followed, are, I think you will agree, synonymous with the findings in Dame Judith's interim report. We went further and we came up with some recommendations of our own, ostensibly at the time to be worked up for the public inquiry. We opted for the term higher risk because we felt no one wants to live in a high-risk building. But it's synonymous, I think, with Dame Judith's high-risk and complex definition. Clearly, what that actually means needs to be defined as a very important next step in the process. We came up with this term life safety manager because we felt it would be clearly understood by tenants and residents and covered the holistic needs of safety over and above just fire safety. We see these responsibilities and the accountability as being like a baton being handed across the three phases of design, construction and operation. Again, a synergy with the idea of the golden thread. But having come up with the term, we agree on the need for clear and unambiguous responsibilities and accountability, but it may be achieved in any number of different ways and with different nomenclature. For example, by combining responsibilities with the CDM, or looking at the system that has been enacted in the Republic of Ireland of developer, client, owner having responsibility and assigning it to approved contractors or approved certifiers. There are many ways of achieving the same thing. Further recommendations concern fire risk assessments, a higher degree of competence and accreditation for assessors on higher risk buildings, increasing what fire risk assessments cover, not just means of escape, and extending to individual dwellings, the compartmentation point that Dame Judith mentioned earlier being highly relevant to that. We also put forward a recommendation about colour coding for certain fire-rated products, and for giving a combined voice in an independent body for residents and tenants, and for those in the construction site supply chain to whistleblow if they had serious concerns that safety procedures and regulations are being flouted. These recommendations don't exactly mirror the recommendations in Dame Judith's interim report, but I hope you will see that they are certainly travelling in the same direction. I just wanted to take a brief detour into procurement because we are doing a lot of work with the Construction Leadership Council on seeking to achieve better value procurement, and we believe that though it might not be a direct consideration of the review, it is without doubt a vital ingredient within the After Grenfell portfolio of culture change. There's a lot going on. And it needs to be pulled together, but we certainly don't want to lose sight of it in the overall package. Dame Judith's interim report, as she said earlier, was published on the 18th of December, and within 5 minutes, CIC published its response. Full acceptance of the interim report, unconditional support, and pledging full support for the next phase. It was a quick reaction within 5 minutes. But I'm pleased to say that we've tested that reaction further with members' workshops, very well attended, across the piece of our membership on the 15th and 18th of January, and of course through our members' participation in the summit on the 22nd of January. And we're sure that we made the right call 5 minutes after the interim report was published. CIC's focus will now switch from the public inquiry to James Judith's review. We're still going to make a submission to the public inquiry, but it's going to come much later on, and certainly after the final report. We continue to pledge our full support, and I believe that that is true of the 50 professional bodies in our membership, to the review team, and I'm sure that those organisations will be putting experts forward to help in phase two of the review. But I wanted to just emphasise these four words: lead, support, facilitate and follow. Because I think it's important that all of the organisations take that mantra. We all should lead where we have the expertise to do so. But in the main, none of us has that expertise exclusively. So it has to be in collaboration with other organisations. And where we don't have the lead expertise, we should support those that do. We should facilitate collaboration, because that's what it's all about. And we should follow the leadership of others when it's necessary to do so. And in conclusion, I think it's very important to stress that all of this needs to be joined up and collaborative. I think it's absolutely right that the leadership is with Dame Judith and her review team. We need to get behind her. There's no point in doing different things in different places, but it has to be joined up. It has to involve the fire safety sector. It has to involve the built environment professions, the wider construction industry. It has to involve all of those who represent the residents and the tenants of the many, many buildings that have the same configuration of cladding and external wall insulation as occurred at Grenfell. And without that collaboration, we really won't succeed. So thank you very much.